It's time for Heatwave Sports. Sit back and relax as you take a tour around the world of sports each and every Saturday and Sunday night. And now, your hosts for Heatwave Sports, Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
And a good Sunday night to you, Las Vegas. Welcome. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Tim Unglesby and Ari Platinum with you from the palatial Lotus Broadcast Studios. Very cold outside tonight. And, of course, burning up the hotline, the Heatwave hotline, Tom Barton, TomBartonSports.com. Not only is Tom Barton burning up, but Tom Barton Sports is burning up, Tommy. Unbelievable weekend over there for Tom Barton.
Yeah, very productive weekend here. Ended on a sour note, which we will get into, but overall, great weekend. I told you, you know, in the text message, we talked about it yesterday on the air. Had Colts in the under, you know. I basically, in the beginning of the week, said today I had the Chargers and the under. But at the beginning of the week, what did I tell you? You said, who do you like? I said, I think I like all the dogs and all the unders, right? I think I like all the dogs and all the unders. Interesting stat I uncovered today, Tim. 11 straight underdogs have now covered. 11 straight. So when we sit back and we talk about the public loving favorites and loving overs, I don't think the public's doing too good here, Tim.
I think you look at what's gone on in the playoffs, and you, like you said, the dogs are barking. It's been an exciting playoff. Well, I guess with the exception of the Colts game, which is kind of a runaway game, but you know we've been fortunate to see three really good football games, and some that got, I guess, better as the games went on. But we'll break them all down for you. We'll look ahead to next week's matchups, and we want you guys to join in with us tonight. 876-1340 is the Heatwave hotline number. At Tom Barton Sports, at HW Sports. We want to be interactive tonight. This is it. This is the NFL playoffs. This is what you've been waiting for. Now we're down to the final eight. So, Tom, I guess we should start with what we saw last. And Philadelphia moves on to the next round. So, just I'm going to ask you from the fan point of view. When Parkey misses that field goal, Was it like doomsday there at the Barton household?
You could hear a pin drop. I mean, that was, you know, you asked me, you said, was I angry? Was I upset? The old cartoons where somebody can't believe something, you know, and their jaw hits the floor and their tongue kind of rolls out across it. That's what I was like. It wasn't that he missed it. It's the style that he missed it. I mean, just the unfolding, the emotional rollercoaster of watching them score, saying, all right, that's it. Then watching Trubisky just absolutely dominate, roll down the field. Not only put him in a position of, well, you know, it's a 52-yarder. No, put him in a position where they got that extra 8-9 yards, and you go, all right, this is it. I mean, this is his range. Then he hits it, but there's a timeout. Okay, but he hits it without a problem. I said, wow, well, that's got to make you feel good. And then the way that he missed it, because I watched it. I know that a lot of people out there didn't quite catch both the bounces. I saw the first bounce, and I said, in that split second in my brain, I go, he hit another freaking post, because this guy hits post, right? How's it falling? I go, wait a minute, that's going to fall in? You know, we've seen that happen a million times. And what kind of poetic justice would it have been if Parkey hits another post, but it goes in? You know, that's going in. That's going to fall in. And it bounces. When we talk about sports, Tim, me and you have built careers. I have built a 20-some-odd-year career breaking down sports, analyzing, breaking down numbers, breaking down positions, X's and O's, trends, numbers. When we talk about sports handicapping, trends, numbers, everything that you need to talk about, all of these things come into play. But, Tim, every now and then, it's pure luck. And if you think about a football, if you take a football and you throw it up in the air 100 times, 50% of the time, it's going to hit on the front side of that goalpost. 50% of the time, that's going to hit on the back side of the goalpost. If the football was round, that ball probably would have bounced straight up in the air, and then it could have went in. Mm-hmm. Just because it's oblong, it just happened to fall on the front side of the oblong, that was out. That's how close this game was. And we'll break it down. But, Tim, to say that it was pure luck tonight, there's no more evidence in the history of sports that you need than what we saw tonight, where pure luck came into play.
Yeah, well, let's definitely break the game down. I want to get your thoughts now as not necessarily a fan, but because I do take your analysis into consideration on many, many things, very intelligent when it comes to sports, but I know you're going to have a little bit of the fandom in you. So when you're talking about Cody Parker, and no, I'm not going out and saying he needs to be cut. I'm not saying any of that. But in your mind, with what you saw all season long with him and him hitting the post, is that something that you have there inside your brain saying, do we really go with this guy in the future if he can't, you know, if this is going to be an issue? That's his sole job, Tom, is to kick field goals, extra points, right? That's his sole job. And, you know, this wasn't the first time this year that it affected the team. So going into the next season, and I know we'll talk about the offseason later, but just with him, since he's like the star right now on social media with his interview, I thought he gave correct answers. You know, he took accountability for what happened because he has to. He missed the field goal. But does that run in your mind for the future about his ability to make field goals now?
Well, let me tell you two different things here, Tim, okay? Before I answer your question, allow me the time to just talk about the good here. Mm-hmm. The good is this. Cody Parkey kicked a field goal that will be played forever in the history of the NFL. People will talk about this game forever in the city of Chicago. This is a you know, you will live in infamy sort of sports moment. Immediately after he kicked it, you know what he did? Pointed to the sky and said, thank you to God.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he's still here. Okay, that's good. Number two, he was booed as loudly as I've heard anyone booed at any stadium of a player that was on the team when he was running off. You know what he was doing there, Tim? He stood at his locker waiting for reporters to answer questions. Okay? There's also the idea, let's talk right now about the fact that Cody Parkey made three kicks, didn't he? Bears aren't there if he doesn't make three kicks before that. Okay, that's the good. I tried to be nice. I tried to be civil. Cody Parkey needs to be cut today. Okay? They need to cut him before it turns Monday. They need to cut him immediately. And it's not just because of tonight. Look, the kick was tipped. Okay, we saw that. So it's not just because of tonight. It is because, number one, he hits field goals. I mean, he hits the goalpost all the time. Those with a little bit more, you know, on the outside, that's a problem, number one. Number two, the guy is a bad kicker. I mean, he's a bad kicker. He was the second most in the NFL. So forget about just tonight, okay? It's not like he was Justin Tucker that missed his first field goal tonight, right? He missed 11 field goals on the season, second most in the NFL. That's massive. That should have been cut before this. He shouldn't have been on the team this year. Before this was a problem, okay? So Cody Parkey's got to go for those reasons. And then there's this. There is no way in any way, shape, or form that you can believe that Cody Parkey can come back to this team in this situation and hit a big kick if you need him again. You're not believing that next year the Bears are in a playoff game at home, you know, sitting back, and he's got to hit a big kick. Maybe not like this, but he's got to hit a big kick. No one's going to have faith in that. And how can you? How can you have faith in Cody Parkey? I don't know if Cody Parkey would have faith in Cody Parkey in that moment. He's got to have some doubts because of what happened. And then you have the idea of the fans. Look, this isn't a long-time kicker. This isn't a long-time Chicago Bear. This isn't someone that has, you know, been on successful teams. This isn't that. You don't want that toxicity from the fans. Do it to placate them if you have to. You're not losing much. And you don't want that in the locker room. You never want in the locker room even that little twinge of sitting there in the deep of August, sitting there in spring training, tempers are rising, and somebody looks over and sees Cody Parkey, you know, on the field, missing a couple of extra points in a preseason game, or missing, you know, practice kicks in an inter-squad game. And then what happens? The team starts barking. This team starts getting annoyed. You got to remember that these guys are emotional as well. So as much as the fans are, now let's talk about the fans. Let's talk about the emotions of the fans. How all? Yeah, okay, that's fine. Well, the team is also. I don't think that the fans will allow him back, and they shouldn't. I don't think that the coach will have faith in him anymore, and he shouldn't. And I don't think the players want that toxicity to be reminded of how they were exited out of the playoffs on the team, and they shouldn't. So I can talk very nicely about Cody Parkey here because he did the right things after the kick went off. But, Tim, this man's got to be cut. He's got to be cut tomorrow. And it, to me, Matt Nagy did an almost 100% job of coaching this year. This should not have happened because Cody Parkey shouldn't have been on the team.
So you think he's gone?
I don't think that is a take that we should even have a conversation about.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gone. I would be as shocked as I've ever been in sports to see him back kicking for the Bears. As shocked. This is a foregone conclusion. You can't, emotionally, for your team's sake, you cannot have this man back on the field. You can't do it. You can't have him back in your jersey. You can't do it, Tim. There's just no way. No way you can do that.
So the running joke on social media, I think you actually texted this in the group too, was that Steve Bartman is no longer relevant.
Yeah, that's what I was one of the first people to put that out there because I hadn't seen it until after I did. I put it out there on social media as well. And that's what it is. I mean, you're able to forgive Bartman after the Cubs won the World Series, right?
Right.
And Bartman didn't really lose the World Series for them, did he? I mean, it wasn't really his fault.
No.
He had a bonehead play. The fans overreacted. Well, Cody Parkey didn't really lose this. They shouldn't have been in that position anyway. They shouldn't have been in that situation. It was a fluky play. It was a blocked kick. If you really want to break it down, it's whoever was blocking Malcolm Jenkins, right? I think it was Fletcher Cox. It was whoever was blocking Fletcher Cox that should get the blame. But you need something to pin it on. And you need something to pin it on. And this is who it has to be pinned on. I mean, all of America is going to wake up tomorrow watching highlights of this. When they talk about, when we watch the shows, you know, in a month from now that do, oh, let's review the 2018 NFL season. Guess what we're going to see? Doink, doink. We're going to see the double doink. It will be there in 10 years from now. When I'm sitting around with Tommy and I'm saying, dude, I watched that in the living room with you. You know, what? What did we watch? Doink, doink. It will be there forever. Scott Norwood didn't really lose the Super Bowl, did he? I mean, you know, was he the sole cause of it? No, of course not. That game shouldn't have been that close with an offense like the Buffalo Bills. But we know Scott Norwood. And we know the name Scott Norwood for a reason. Well, maybe this isn't as Super Bowl worthy, but you'll hear the name Cody Parkey. Next year, I guarantee you, Tim, I'll even set the bar, not even once, I'll set the bar like 10 times. You'll hear when a kicker hits the field goal, what are you going to hear? Oh, they Cody Parkey'd that. Right? That's what he is now. That's who he's become.
Well, let's look at this game, Tom. The Eagles 16-15 victory as they move on to now they're going to head to New Orleans. They're going to take on the Saints next week. When you look at this football game, and, you know, again, it's in today's day and age with the way that people. I don't know if they're just not fans, if they're just not intelligent, mixture of both. But, like, the big story out of this, other than Cody Parkey, is how we didn't, Tom. You know, he had a great final drive, I would say. Other than that, he was below average for this game. And the other side of this, the haters, I guess we can say, on the Bears was about how bad Mitch Trubisky sucked today, which I didn't see that either. So, you know, people are going to say what they want to say because they're haters, but really when you break this game down, where did Chicago lose this football game? Was it this, just the Eagles were able to stop them from allowing Howard to get going, which kept this game closer than what we both thought it should have been?
Well, yeah, let me address the first 2 points. First, Nick Foles was a backup quarterback today. He looked atrocious. He looked terrible. He threw 2 interceptions. You can't have a good day and throw 2 interceptions. Right. You know, he got the win. Yes, he got the win. This was he got most of his yardage in the second half of that game off of penalties. The Bears had 45 yards worth of personal foul penalties and pass interference penalties that we could all look at and say were absolutely BS. You know that. Okay. Garbage penalties is why Nick Foles had a decent day. Anyone who says Nick Foles had a good day doesn't understand football. They don't understand that your quarterback cannot throw for, you know, 100 yards in the first half with 2 interceptions and tell me that they're having a good game. That's people that don't understand the sport. You can't sit back in the same vein and sit back and tell me that Mitch Trubisky had a bad day. Mitch Trubisky today, that the one thing that you could take of this, anybody, all sides, I have a lot of people that are from Southern New Jersey and Philadelphia Eagles fans on my Twitter, and all I got was, wow, Mitch Trubisky coming out party today. The guy threw for over 300 yards today, didn't really make a mistake. The second half, he took over the game. When Nagy gave him the ball and said, okay, look, Howard and Cohen just aren't being able to do it today, what did he do? What did Trubisky do? Drove him down the field, put him in field goal range. What we saw today from Mitch Trubisky was one of the best playoff performances of the weekend. Look, when you're talking about playoff quarterbacks, let's break it down, Tim, this weekend. Andrew Luck was superb, okay? Andrew Luck probably had, Andrew Luck was the best quarterback of the week. Okay. The race for number 2, Deshaun Watson was terrible, okay? Mitch Trubisky had a better day than Deshaun Watson. I don't think anyone's arguing that. Phillip Rivers did not look good for most of that game. Mitch Trubisky had a better game than Phillip Rivers. Lamar Jackson, Mitch Trubisky, had a better game than Lamar Jackson. Dak Prescott, Dak had 2 nice runs outside of that. Mitch Trubisky had a better day. Russell Wilson, who, you know how much I love him, Mitch Trubisky had a better day. So Mitch Trubisky had a better day than anybody else. And the one thing, stats are one thing, and he had the stats and threw for 300 yards. Yeah, the stats are one thing. What you watched late in that game, though, is what makes every Bears fan sit up and go, wow. You have performers at the quarterback position that step up to big moments, and you have performers at the quarterback position that fail in big moments. What we now know about Mitch Trubisky is he steps up during big moments. This was his first test, so I have to go on the only data that I have, right? The only data that I have, the only idea that I have, the only footage that I have, the only notion that I have of Mitch Trubisky in a big spot is him with 58 seconds left and no timeouts driving his team with 2 beautiful passes and then a 3rd beautiful pass to get him down inside field goal range. That's what we know about Mitch Trubisky. With 58 seconds and no timeout in his first playoff game, a young kid that has less than 2 years experience as a starting quarterback in the NFL drove down the field and put his team in a position to win against the defending champion Eagles defense. That's reality, guys. Mitch Trubisky didn't look good today. Mitch Trubisky looked downright fantastic today. If you had any doubt in your mind if this kid is the next great quarterback, today stopped it. Now, I understand that you guys still love your Pat Mahomes and everybody else, and the numbers are exciting. But along comes a guy with, you know, ice in his veins like this, and here you go. And you can't say, well, that's every quarterback, until he was over 30 years old, right? Matt Ryan didn't do it until he was half as old. You look at a guy like Matthew Stafford, still hasn't done it. A guy like Aaron Rodgers fails all the time. Mitch Trubisky had an opportunity to pick his team up in a huge spot in the game, and that's exactly what he did. Now, you asked me, the last part of your question was, so why did they lose? I like him a lot, man. I like Tariq Cohen a lot. Okay, but we couldn't get anything going. And when Howard doesn't get something going, what you need is you need Tariq Cohen to kind of catch the ball on the outside, to kind of be that secondary guy, so they can't zone in. They weren't there, and that's why the offense stalled. But remember this as well. Again, I'm not giving you an excuse, okay? But I'm giving you reasons. So if you ask for reasons, here are reasons. Trey Burton is a massive part of this offense, a massive part of this offense. He was, last night, he was a starter. He practiced as a starter all week long. Trey Burton woke up today and he couldn't go. That's a huge, huge, huge loss on offense when you're talking about how important the tight end position is in this game. Think about it. Braun Becker, who I love, he's from Harvard, right? But Braun Becker had a couple of catches today. Adam Shaheen had a couple of catches today. Braun Becker and Shaheen basically had no catches until, you know, week 12 or so. It was all Trey Burton. It was a massive part of this offense. People will forget that is there. So you want me to sit back and tell me why they lost today? Cody Parkey's a reason. Cohen, Howard, they're reasons. Trey Burton not being there is a reason. I'll tell you what, Khalil Mack not showing up. Sorry, guys, I'm wearing the jersey today. Khalil Mack not showing up was a reason. The referees were a massive, massive reason. But all in all, it was just little things. And that's how close the game was. The one thing you can't say, the one thing you know, if anybody has ever watched a game of football, I don't care if you're a Bears hater or not, the one thing you can't say is that Mitch Trubisky didn't absolutely play to his utmost potential today. Looked absolutely fantastic. Anyone talking about the negativity of Mitch Trubisky's game today, just assume they've never watched football before because they're idiots.
I think the score is indicative of how the game went. Tom, you look at everything you just said, it was back and forth. It was a situation where, like I said, the Eagles basically just giving up 60 yards on the ground. The Bears affected that offense, I think. But why? Okay, so we're moving on to the next round. And once again, the story is on Nick Foles because of what happened last year, and he's doing it again. I don't know how it can be said that he went out and had a great game. I don't even know statistically if you look at it. The two picks right there cancel your touchdowns. He didn't throw for 300. It was, other than that final drive where he put together a pretty good drive, Tom, he was very ineffective. You said he was a backup today. I agree with you. But now, I'm getting texts from friends. I'm hearing things on talk shows that they have a tough decision to make in the offseason and bringing him back. I disagree.
Again, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. If Nick Foles takes his team to a championship, it's ridiculous, Tim.
Right.
It's ridiculous. He is a backup quarterback and has shown it and showed it and showed it again today. He was, forget about mediocre, he was downright terrible early on in this game. Against a team that was able to run the ball. Or, you take away those ridiculous penalties that we've all gone back and watched. We've all saw that they were completely ridiculous penalties. Nick Foles is garbage. I mean, absolutely garbage. And the idea that he should be in there instead of Carson Wentz, you know what, Philly? Go ahead. Go do it. Go do that, and we'll see. And here's how you have to put it here, Tim. Think about this. And I'm not giving you opinion. I'm going to give you a fact. If you put Nick Foles on the trade block and you put Carson Wentz on the trade block, who are you getting more for?
Yeah.
And if you go, well, that's just their opinion. You're right. That's the opinion of every evaluator in the NFL, every talent evaluator in the NFL, every general manager in the NFL, people that have made their 40, 50 careers evaluating the quarterback position, evaluating talent, have their jobs, their livelihood, their families, in their mind when they choose a quarterback, and every single one of them will give you a better return for Carson Wentz rather than Nick Foles. So if I am among every single person that makes a living watching football, then that's who I'm among. But there isn't one team out there that would give you more for Nick Foles rather than Carson Wentz. And that will tell you who should be your starting quarterback.
If they, Nick Foles, the way his contract sets up, Tom, they would have to pay him $20 million next year to bring him back. He could opt out and pay back $2 million of the bonus that he signed initially for. That way he could put himself on the free agent market. They're not signing him for $20 million for a backup quarterback. It's not happening.
But here's the thing. I wouldn't get down on Philly if they did. If they did trade Carson Wentz, only because of the unbelievable haul you could get back. Here's what you know. We can win with a backup quarterback, right? We can win with Nick Foles as a backup quarterback. We might have to do different things. We have to play tremendous defense. You know, we might have to do certain things. But we can win with him. I don't know if we can win all year with him. Remember, this is the same guy that lost his job in the first 3 weeks. Philly fans were going, what the hell are you doing? Just threw for 170 yards, right?
Right.
Win with him. If you could get back that ridiculous haul for Carson Wentz, because it is going to be hard for Carson to come in here and to succeed. He's always going to have the Nick Foles thing behind him, right? It's going to be hard for Carson Wentz to walk into Philly and to ever get the recognition that he should get because of what Nick Foles has done. So do I think they should get rid of Carson Wentz? Absolutely not. I think it's kind of ridiculous. But if they were so inclined to see what the market was, I wouldn't get down on them. And when I'm talking about one of those ridiculous deals, quote-unquote, right, I'm talking about, let's say they went to, let's say they went to a team like the Raiders. The Raiders have 4 first-round picks, right? Give me your 4 first-round picks this year, your 2 first-round picks the next 2 years. So I get 3 first-round picks. 3 number one first-round picks, 2 extras this year, and all in all, 5 first-round picks. Yeah, that's the kind of haul Carson Wentz will receive. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I would sit back and talk about. What about the Jets? The Jets have, what, the 3rd pick overall? Okay, Jets, you know what? Give me the 3rd pick overall. Give me next year's number one and the year after that number one. So I get 3 number one picks, including the number 3 pick overall this year. That's something now I'm starting to entertain. Because Philly is a team that has the luxury of maybe doing this, maybe shopping them. I think it's crazy. I don't think it happens. But if it does, that's what I would take for Carson Wentz. Something of the lines of 2 or 3 number one overall picks is where I would go with Carson Wentz. Where I would go for Nick Foles, you're getting a second rounder, maybe a third rounder, right? So when you look at the totality of it, unless Foles goes out there and wins a Super Bowl, do not expect Nick Foles to be starting under center week one.
The Bears will finish 12-5, Tom, 7-2 at home this season. What's the offseason look like for Chicago?
Nothing. It should be a very quiet offseason. They don't have a first-round draft pick, okay, so it's not going to be the big draft pick. What position do they really need? They have got to refine small things. If they went into next year with the exact same team, you go, okay, let's talk about it. Matt Nagy is year 2 here. So that was a rookie head coach. Mitch Trubisky has still yet to play a full season. And remember, he only started 1 year in North Carolina. He'll be better. Howard and Cone are fine. Offensive line looked very good. Kyle Long injury hurt them during the year, but he came back. Burton, we needed him today, but you got Burton. You have that. Wide receivers, I like this kid Miller. Gabriel is perfectly fine. Robinson is good. On the offensive, ask me for anything, I guess you could shore up the offensive line. Who couldn't? And I would like a big, deep threat, a real burner. Would be okay. None of those positions are something I'm going out there and looking for at all. Then you look at the defensive side of the ball. Hicks and Roquan Smith are signed and young. Jackson was hurt today. Oh, by the way, their biggest playmaker and the guy that led the NFL in interceptions, Jackson, yeah, he didn't play today. Okay. Fuller was picked on a little bit, but I'm fine with him. Maybe you get another corner. Tim, I don't see the glaring need. I don't see the weakness on this team, other than obviously you got to go get a kicker. But I don't see the glaring need. They're going to enter an offseason without a first-round draft pick, and they're going to enter an offseason where they went out and they made their free agency splash. I think the Bears are going to be very quiet this offseason, and I'm okay with that. I think if you roll out the ball today against Philly and the Bears right now, the Bears win this time, and they're moving on. And that's perfectly okay if you're a Bears fan.
Yeah, the biggest free agent to be I saw on the Bears list, Tom, was Massey on the offensive line.
Yeah, which he's a good player, but you could get rid of him. You know, you can always, when you're talking about offensive line, you can always shore it up. But I like consistency. I like keeping these guys together because that's how offensive line works well. And it's the same thing with a corner. You can always get an extra corner because even if you use your third or fourth corner, you're going to use them in the packages that people use nowadays. So that would be something I would look for them to kind of shore up. When you're talking about the draft, going deep in the draft, they don't have a first-round pick. That doesn't mean you can't improve yourself. I don't know, and this is a terrible statement, but it's reality. I don't know if I feel okay with the depth at running back. You know, when the Bears are calling, you know, a third and three, and Howard was out because he was you know, needed a break, they didn't feel confident handing the ball to straight handoff to Terry Cohen. They went to Benny Cunningham. I don't think Benny Cunningham should be your backup running back. And I'm not sure that Jordan Howard is the long-term answer here. I know he's been here a couple of years. Maybe you go dig deep and you go get a running back, you know, in the third round or something like that. But it's all slight tweaking to a team that had a phenomenal year.
Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio. When we come back, we'll look at Philadelphia's next matchup as they will head to the Bayou to take on the New Orleans Saints. We'll break that game down for you and then look at the AFC, the last AFC wildcard game that happened this morning as well. It's going to be a fun night tonight here in Las Vegas. It's Heat Wave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Look up Heat Wave Sports on Facebook and on Twitter at HW Sports and at Tom Barton Sports.
Defense on me!
Okay, Petey, don't you drift to the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star, you better give me a star effort. Do you hear me?
Forget about him. Allen, you're it. Come on.
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure that they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
Eagles move on in the NFL playoffs. Tim Oglesby, Tom Barton, Heat Wave Sports. Love to get your thoughts. 876-1340 is the Heat Wave hotline. You can hit us up over on Twitter as well, at HW Sports, at Tom Barton Sports. Tom, the Eagles will try to defend their championship next week as they move on through and take on the New Orleans Saints, a game that this game has, or this line has opened up 8. I've seen 9 now.
Yeah, you know, I hate the big lines. But I will tell you, I have realized that the public are as stupid as I've ever seen. They are doing things like you said, thinking that Nick Foles had a good game. Okay, they are going out there and saying that wow, maybe Philly just has magic. And a lot of these things, I was shocked the line opened up so much because I think people are going to be all over Philly here. But I will say, we have sat down, and we'll play the clip for you guys before the Super Bowl. I sat down here before the year, and I told you, I think Drew Brees wins the MVP. I think the Saints win the Super Bowl. And I have never felt so good about my bet because I think the Saints are licking their chops. Nobody wanted to face Chicago. Nobody wanted to face the Bears. The Saints are in a position where, you know, they have to go out there and, they maybe would have had a little trouble with Dallas, right? They have to go out there, and you have to look at this, and you go, okay, they're going to have a little trouble with the Rams, of course. They might match up poorly and have problems with a couple of teams. I think they look at Philadelphia as a bye week. I mean, I'm telling you guys, there's a reason why this is almost double digits. The matchup-wise, the Saints match up really well. The one thing, think about it, Trubisky just, yeah, you guys want to say how bad Trubisky is? Well, he threw for 300, right? The one thing that the Philadelphia Eagles just absolutely do not do well is defend against the deep pass. And we watched Allen Robinson do it all day today, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when Mike Thomas is there and Drew Brees is there? And that's what they're going to be going up against. They're going to be going up against deep passes with Brees and Thomas and throwing it all over the field. I know that Kamara is tough, and I know that Ingram's tough, okay? I'm not taking anything away from these guys. But I think Philadelphia matches up absolutely horrendously. And if Marshawn Lattimore is able to key in on Alshon Jeffrey and shut down Jeffrey, this will be a disgusting game. And we've watched that year, so many years in a row now, Tim, right? I mean, I would say 9 of the last 10 years, what we've watched are great wild card rounds, and you go, oh, man, that was a great thing. Anybody can win, and then what happens? The divisional round are just blowouts. There's a reason why this line is 9, 9.5. I actually think it's going to fall. I think if you're a Saints fan, I think people are going to be on Philly after what they watched and people believing in the magic and whatnot. So I would wait on this. But, man, can you make a relatively intelligent argument that doesn't include the word magic or doesn't include, well, you know, Nick Foles just doesn't lose? Can you make any kind of X's and O's intelligent argument that Philly will even be in this game, Tim?
No, I think they wasted whatever energy they had left. I don't think that defense, especially in the secondary, is set up to handle what they're about to see. And, you know, you talk about the divisional playoffs, and yes, a lot of times you see the stronger team just kind of run away, Tom. And, you know, the lines of 9 are for a reason. We know that. But we also know that the Saints still have a bitter, bitter taste in their mouth of what happened last year in the playoffs. And now they've had a week off. You know, you can make an argument of that week may sometimes hurts a team. I don't think in this instance it does. They're chomping at the bit, Tom. And you know, you're talking about second and third stringers in that secondary. In my opinion, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I said last year when the Saints were eliminated. Whoever faces the Saints in the first round of the playoffs, you better watch out. I bet on the Saints this year when they took on Minnesota, if you remember that, right? They humiliated them for the first half. And then the game got a little bit close, but because the Saints were playing a much different defense, they humiliated them. And that's what I think their mindset will be again. I don't think the Saints want to win. I think they want to humiliate this team to get rid of, what, as you call it, the bad taste from last year, 100%.
I don't know. You know, you look at that offense, and you mentioned all the weapons that the Saints possess. He has so many options, and that I think that's the downfall, is the Eagles just don't have enough. Number one, they don't have enough healthy defensive players to be able to withstand what they're about to take in. And the momentum, where they're playing again on the road, another hostile crowd, it's magnified in that dome, as you know. I think that line goes up a little bit, Tom.
I understand where you're coming from. Here's where we'll have the debate. And it'll be interesting because we'll have a verified winner of that debate, right? We're looking at this, right? It opened at 9.5, you said. You know, I think it gets to I don't think it gets to 7. I think it lands in that 7.5 or 8 range. And here's why. You're looking at this from an objective, normal, sober, sane person, right?
Right.
that's how you're looking at this, from a normal, sane person. But you also, Tim, got text today that said Nick Foles could walk on water. He had a great game with 2 interceptions. You also got text today that said Mitch Trubisky with 308 yards passing and a game-winning drive, and you know, under a minute to go, had a bad game today. You are looking at this from an idea of saying, I think the line should be more. I'm looking at this saying, the public are idiots. Okay? Generally, the public betting leans to the last thing they saw, which is Philadelphia. The public betting likes to bet with their hearts. And people are going to be betting on Nick Foles. And the other area that I speak about, but people in Vegas don't speak about it because, you know, people in Vegas, they live in an isolated little world, okay? I'm sorry, but you do. People in Vegas live in their borders and they don't look on the outside. Tim, Atlantic City is going to get massive Philadelphia money. Massive Philadelphia money, which will skew the lines. You have to remember that. Atlantic City and New Jersey will get massive money on Philadelphia. And that's going to move the line. That's going to skew the line. The Chicago Bears in Las Vegas, I will tell you, this is what I spoke to a sports book director during the week. The Chicago Bears in Las Vegas, the line opened up at 6 this week. It went in Las Vegas, it went up to 6.5. Yesterday, it hit 7 for a brief moment. There wasn't much action on the 7. It came back down to 6.5. It eventually went off at 6, okay? In New Jersey, Tim, the line opened at 6.5. It went off today at 5. So you have massive money coming in on Philly just because now they have a reason. Now they have a reason to bet on them. Oh, I'm going to take the points. It's Philly. It's Nick Foles. I think you're underestimating what New Jersey is. And I have David Dantzies on my SportsGarden.com show every week, okay, here in New York. And he's from the Atlantic City Press, or every month, I should say. He gives me the numbers. You know that since the beginning, now Atlantic City doesn't even have full betting right now. It's only Atlantic City, not New Jersey. But the numbers in Atlantic City are about half of Las Vegas of sports betting. That's a monumental number if you're thinking about Atlantic City has about 5 sports books in the entire state. So the numbers will be skewed. I think you're forgetting how much the Atlantic City market will drive this number down.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that plays in, if you like the Saints, that plays into your favor.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, somebody out there might say, if you're paying attention, you're smart, you might say, well, what about the Mississippi sports books? That could drive the Saints back up. They're just not doing the volume. You know, when you look at the volume, I'll give it to you on a $100 basis, okay? Las Vegas is taking in $100 a month on sports betting. Atlantic City is taking in about $60 a month on sports betting. It's a little bit more than half. Mississippi is taking in about $20 a month. There's just not enough volume, but there is enough volume to go out there and look at Atlantic City. And let me just say this. There's the other idea that people are going, wait a minute. If Atlantic City doesn't matter, it doesn't affect the Las Vegas sportsbooks. Yes, it does, because most of them are owned by a William Hill or something like that anyway. So if the line moves in Atlantic City at William Hill, it will move in Las Vegas at William Hill as well.
Before we look at the other game, Tom, just now that the lines are kind of set, I know we talked a little bit about it last night, just another analysis real quick on the two games on Saturday. It'll be the Colts at the Chiefs, opened at 4.5. I've seen it go to 5.5. In fact, over at the Westgate right now, Tom, it's 6.
Yeah, you know, I expect the Chiefs to be, you know, the favorite here. This is a tough one because I think you're going to get a lot of even money. I know everybody loves the Kansas City Chiefs and Mahomes and whatnot, but what they watched against Indy was interesting. I told you yesterday, the line opened, I said if it was like 54, I'd be pounding the over. I thought it would be 54.5. Well, it's 56.5. That's not that different, right? 57 at the Westgate right now, as a matter of fact. So this is going up. I think that line stays right about there. You know, 5.5, 6, maybe it gets to 6.5, maybe it gets down to 5. I'm not sure where I see the money going right now, Tim. I think this is a pretty safe, middle-of-the-road sort of, okay, if you like Indy, you know, you're getting almost a touchdown, but we're not going to quite give you a touchdown. And if you like the over, you're going to have to pay for it.
I think that a lot of what's going around, and I've had a few of my friends say it as well, and I know you've brought it up too, Tom, is that the defense of Kansas City is a sore thumb right now, and a lot of people are kind of swinging towards Indianapolis' way, even though the line has moved in Kansas City's favor. You know, a lot of the football minds that I respect like that fact that they want the line to keep going up, obviously, because they like the Colts.
Yeah, if this gets to a 7, I'm smiling ear to ear. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even if it gets to a 6.5 and I have to buy it to 7, I'm going to be smiling ear to ear. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it gets there, though, Tim. I really don't know.
There is a 7, and that's not that game. It's the other game. It'll be Dallas in Los Angeles take on the Rams, open 7. I'm still looking at 7.
It's right. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's where I guess it should land. I think the Rams are a team that the public has sort of forgotten how good they can be. You know, they haven't looked good in a couple of weeks. They were a little banged up. I'm not making excuses for them, but they were. We know Dallas is a public team, Tim. So money will be coming in on Dallas because they are a public team. I think that this line being a 7 is perfectly fine. I don't think that is a weird number. People are saying it about the Rams. You know what? Prove it to us. Prove to us that late season kind of swoon was just that. It's just a fluke. And with Dallas, you're going to get people that like Dallas just because it's Dallas. So that number is going to be inflated by a half a point to a point just because it's Dallas.
I have the same thoughts that you do on the first game, Colts and Chiefs. I lean the dog, and like you said, if we're moving points, it's going to go in our favor. In the second game, I kind of like the Rams, Tom, and I think we might have a New Orleans situation here as well. Week off, you know, they looked very lackluster in the last few weeks. Let's put it that way. I think they were kind of going through the motions after the way that they played most of the season, but now they have a week off, and this is where we really see the kind of coach McVay is going to be to get these guys motivated against a team coming in that's hot. You know, Dallas is very hot. I think they won, 6 of 7, a lot of momentum behind them, but they're in a situation where they're going on the road, and I think the Rams are really comfortable in that stadium now, and I think they're just kind of itching, Tom, to get back out there and prove that they were the best team in the West.
Yeah, listen, you have a very, very, very compelling argument. It's an argument where you go, yeah, do you like the defense or do you like the offense? My question is, with the defense or the offense, you know, who are the Rams? I mean, that's what you're asking yourself. The Rams look bad. They lost to Philadelphia. I'm sorry, that was an ugly loss. They lost to the Bears where they just were annihilated. And guess whose fault it was? Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
For not running Todd Gurley. He just, what did Gurley get, you know, 12 and 14 carries or something like that? Yeah, I don't think he makes that mistake again. But then again, I didn't think he'd make it a second time. After watching what the Bears did, and this is a copycat league, and we say it all the time, it's a copycat league. The Chicago Bears laid out the game plan, how to beat the Rams offense. I didn't think that they would make the mistakes that they did again, and they made all of the same mistakes against Philly. And it's got to worry you, if you're a Rams fan, it's got to worry you that they made the same exact errors and the same exact mistakes.
I think it's a situation with McVay, well-liked, well-regarded. Word is he's very intelligent, that maybe he outsmarts himself at times rather than just going with what's working.
It could be. Yeah, that could be. You know, I also question if a team is so good at the end of the year, There's a certain set of boredom that comes in. And I'm not saying that there's an overall boredom, but there is an idea of, wow, you know what? I never used this play before, and we're in week 14. Let's see if I could use this. You know, oh, I never went to this, you know, guy before. And you get like that. Listen, we all have it in us. Everybody does. Every one of us has done something that you go, well, that was kind of dumb, but you did it anyway to kind of just take a chance. I don't think that NFL head coaches are against that. I mean, listen, if you guys play Madden, you know, if you're beating the computer on, like, amateur level, right, like 12, 14 games in a row, you might try something silly on that 15th game. And it might come back to burn you, and you go, it doesn't matter. I know how to recoup. Maybe that's what happened with the Rams. My problem is it happened twice. You know, they were beaten twice and in different styles, but the end result was Melvin Gordon just not being able to get enough carries.
It's almost like a mad
scientist.
Todd Gurley. It's almost like a mad scientist, right? He has these things that he really wants to he needs a test subject to do it. We've already clinched pretty much all the way through. Let's give it a shot. And because it didn't work, he, in his mind, still thinks it's so good that he has to do it again.
Yeah, it could be that. You just hope that it wasn't the idea of, I have to do this because they're stopping something else. That's what you have to look at if you're a Rams fan.
All right, Tom, hour one in the books. We'll come back. We'll talk Chargers-Ravens. We'll talk about the other playoff matchup set for next weekend. And then before we get out of the NFL, I do want to get your thoughts on some possible head coaching changes here coming up really soon. It's Heatwave Sports, talking NFL football, Fox Sports Radio.